Let's get down to business, taking a look at Wall Street. Dow Jones Industrial Average up 348 at 16,865. S&P 500 up 46 at 1,978. NASDAQ Composite up 131 at 4,689. Yield on the 10-year Treasury up 9 basis points at 1.83%. Oil up 14 cents at $33.89 per barrel. Gold down $6.60 at $1,232.70 per ounce. It was the best one-day percentage gain for the S&P 500 and the Dow since January 29th. NASDAQ Composite saw its biggest one-day gain since August. The S&P 500's rally today leaves it lower by just 3% year-to-date. The NASDAQ advance brings its loss for the year to 6.4%. Biotechnology, which underperformed by a huge margin yesterday, came to life today. The NASDAQ Biotech Index, the IBB, up 4.4%. The small-cap Russell 2000 broke through its own 50-day moving average for the first time since early December. However, it rose 2% versus the S&P 500's 2.4% gain. Elsewhere, regional banks, cybersecurity, high-yield bond ETFs, and energy names also impressed. The utilities sector, which is hurt by higher rates, was by far the worst-performing S&P sector today. Today is Super Tuesday. We're not talking about the markets here, but about politics. The polls will begin closing at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. A total of 595 Republican delegates are up for grabs in 11 states of the 1,237 needed to clinch the nomination. Donald Trump is expected to win 10 of the 11 states, with a close race in Texas, where Ted Cruz holds the lead. Sanders and Clinton facing off in 11 states for 865 of the 2,383 delegates needed to win the Democratic race. While Asia and Europe's economic data remains on a downswing, things are still looking decent in the U.S. In the past 2 weeks, we've seen better-than-expected GDP, CPI, and PCE deflator data, which has helped boost stocks at the expense of bonds. It also has more traders thinking the Fed will actually raise rates this year. Today, the momentum continued. Finally, some partially positive news from the U.S. manufacturing sector. A score of 49.5 in the ISM manufacturing PMI. This is still in negative territory, under 50, but better than expected and with a better employment component as well. We'll talk with Bradley Holcomb in just a bit. Home prices nationwide, including distressed sales, increased annually by 6.9%. That according to the CoreLogic Home Price Index, month over month, January increased by 1.3% from December of 2015. Yearly price gains ranged from 11.6% in Washington to 0.1% in Maine. Only Mississippi and Louisiana saw declines. The Census Bureau reported that overall construction spending increased 1.5% in January compared to December. Residential spending was flat in January, but 7.6% higher compared to a year ago. Non-residential spending was 2.5% higher for the month and 12.3% higher for the year. Highway and street construction up 9.5% in December and 14.5% in January. That is a record two-month rise. New York Fed President William Dudley sees downside risk to his U.S. economic outlook, an assessment that could flag a longer pause before the central bank's next interest rate hike. At a conference in China, Dudley said, "At this moment, I judge that the balance of risk to my growth and inflation outlooks may be starting to tilt slightly to the downside. On balance, I am somewhat less confident than I was before." Dudley is a close ally to Fed Chair Janet Yellen. He's also a permanent voter on U.S. monetary policy. Tomorrow, the Federal Reserve will publish its beige book. Brazilian federal police arrested a Facebook executive today after the company failed to turn over information from a WhatsApp messaging account that a judge had requested for a drug trafficking investigation. WhatsApp is owned by Facebook. In Brazil, Facebook has run into other hurdles with authorities in recent months over access to its information. Today's arrest comes less than 3 months after another judge ordered a temporary shutdown of WhatsApp in a similar case. An appeals court quickly overturned that shutdown. And the arrest comes as a debate over the access that law enforcement officials should get to tech companies' data has escalated. In the U.S., Apple is in a fight with the government over whether to build a special tool to help law enforcement break into an iPhone used by one of the attackers in a mass shooting in San Bernardino last year. The U.S. government cannot force Apple to unlock an iPhone in a New York drug case. U.S. Magistrate Judge James Orenstein declared on Monday a ruling that could affect a similar decision involving the San Bernardino shooter's iPhone in California. Today, Apple and the FBI faced off before the House Judiciary Committee on Capitol Hill. FBI Director James Comey told a congressional panel that the FBI would seek to use the same statute it is trying to apply in the San Bernardino case to compel Apple to unlock other phones if the statute is available. Members of the U.S. House of Representatives Judiciary Committee seized on Comey's statement that the case could set a legal precedent allowing the agency access to any encrypted device. ICE is thinking about buying the LSE. International Continental Exchange, the owner of the New York Stock Exchange, is thinking about making a bid for the London Stock Exchange. The report comes just a week after the LSE confirmed it was in talks to combine with Deutsche Börse. Possible size of the deal still unknown. Ford Motors light vehicle sales up 20% in February. Fiat Chrysler delivers a 12% increase, both far exceeded analyst estimates. Not everybody enjoyed the party, though. GM sales down 1.5%. The average estimate for last month's annualized selling rate across the auto industry adjusted for seasonal trends, 17.6 million vehicles. Glencore PLC reported net income, excluding some items, fell 69% to $1.3 billion in 2015. The company announced its biggest drop in profits since its IPO. Glencore was only able to report that profit due to the performance of its trading division. The mining division, as expected, made a loss. The company said it planned to reinstate its dividend in 2017 once it has strengthened its balance sheet. Glencore's CEO, Ivan Glasenberg, said he thinks commodity markets have hit the bottom and that cuts in spending by the world's biggest mining companies will have a positive impact on prices in the future. Glasenberg said global copper inventories have dwindled, indicating a potential shortening in supply, and Glencore's copper sales to China, he says, are strong. The upbeat remarks run counter to some other mining executives who have said they continue to expect more pain this year. Anglo-American CEO Mark Cutifani said last month that 2016 could be worse than last year for commodities. Sun Edison is delaying filing its annual report to ongoing internal investigations by the company based on allegations made by former company executives concerning the accuracy of its expected financial position. Firm said the audit committee has currently found no wrongdoing based on the allegations, although the process is still underway. Shares of Valeant Pharmaceuticals down after Monday's closing bell after the drug maker said it faced a previously undisclosed probe from the SEC. The investigation is separate from a previous probe into Valeant's 2015 purchase of Salix Pharmaceuticals. Moody's also placed the firm's credit rating on review for a downgrade as the company withdrew its previous financial guidance and postponed its fourth quarter earnings call. Volkswagen says it's confident it'll reach an agreement with the U.S. on technical fix for diesel cars, auto buybacks, and fines. CEO Matthias Mueller said ahead of the Geneva Auto Show, where he's pitching new vehicles and exuding some confidence about a recovery, the DOJ has sued VW for up to $46 billion for violating American environmental laws, but there is still no fix for nearly 600,000 U.S. cars, more than 5 months after the company's emissions test rigging scandal broke. According to a new Bankrate.com survey, Wyoming is the best state for retirees. The study examined six key factors: cost of living, taxes, health care, weather, crime, and residents' overall well-being. Wyoming's neighbors, South Dakota, Colorado, and Utah, ranked second, third, and fourth, respectively. The region boasts strong well-being scores, and it also offers a low cost of living and below-average crime. New York is the worst state for retirement, owing mostly to the nation's highest tax burden and a very high overall cost of living. West Virginia, Oregon, Arkansas, and Louisiana comprise the rest of the bottom five. Among traditional retirement hotspots, Arizona fared the best at number 9. Florida came in at 28th. Dragged down by a high crime rate and below-average health care, Hawaii 45th, largely because of a high cost of living. Regardless of which state you call home, if you're a woman, your chances of living in poverty when you pass age 65 are alarmingly high. That according to a study released by the National Institute on Retirement Security. At age 65, females typically have income 25% lower than that of men. The average annual income for Social Security for a man in 2014 was $17,911, for women, $13,824. That and other unhappy facts make the odds of a woman over age 65 living in poverty 80% higher than those for a man. Meanwhile, another report, this one a survey by Willis Tower, reveals that man or woman, East Coast or West Coast, it just doesn't matter, most Americans are nervous about what quality of life they'll have in retirement. 3 out of 4 Americans with jobs don't expect to live as well as their parents did in retirement. We invite you to follow along with live streaming audio at moneyradio.com. And be sure and check out the daily blog, text and audio. That's at eatthebankers.com. Eatthebankers.com.